For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, What Paul Has to Say About You, as we pick up in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn in our Bibles now to Ephesians, the second chapter? Paul is going to talk about someone tonight, very interesting. You. Well, at least you're interested in the subject. For many of you, it's your favorite subject. If we were able to take a wide-angle lens picture of the service this evening and post it on the bulletin board, and you went up to look at that picture, who's the first one you'd look for? Of course. And you, Paul said. Now, notice the words, hath he quickened, are in italics. What it means is that these words were added by the translators, that they do not appear in the original Greek text. In this place. Now they do appear in the original Greek text down in verse 5, but it does not appear here at the beginning of this text. And so they wrote, hath he quickened in italics, in order to indicate the fact that they themselves added those words. They are not a part of the original text. And you, evidently it was just a little bit too heavy, the things that Paul has to say about you, so that they tried to sort of cushion the whole blow by giving you a peek ahead at what he's going to say about you. But at this point, Paul is just saying, and you who were dead in your trespasses and sins. God said to Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Talking about that forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. God was talking about spiritual death. That awareness of God, that communion with God, or that fellowship and oneness that God intended that man should have with God. That would cease. For God is a spirit. They that worship him in spirit and in truth. The relationship with God would cease the moment man disobeyed the commandment of God. The moment man transgressed. And so, and you who were dead, really as the result of your transgressions and sins. The Greek word for sin, harmatia, is a word that means to miss. Our English word sin comes from a root to miss. In fact, it comes from a game in archery that the British used to have. They'd put a hoop on a pole, and each man would take his quiver of arrows and shoot his arrows through the hoop one at a time. And so maybe you'd have 5 men in the contest, each of them with 10 arrows. And one after another, they'd shoot their arrow through the hoop there at the top of the pole. Now, if a man should miss the hoop, then he was called a sinner. You've missed. And he would have to treat the rest of the fellows to the drinks. He was a sinner. He had missed the mark. Now, by the very root of the word, it does indicate, which is also true, that it is possible to be a sinner without wanting to be. It is possible that you would be trying very hard to hit the mark. But no matter how hard we may try to hit the mark, none of us have really hit the mark that God has required for man. All have sinned or missed the mark and come short of the glory of God. Now, some may have come closer than others. If we decided to go sailing out here in the channel and maybe sail to Catalina, but halfway across the channel we spring a leak in the boat and it starts to go down, and some of you who can't swim go down with the boat. Others who are novices at swimming may swim a few feet and then go down. Some who are strong swimmers may swim for a mile or two before they go under. And there may be a marathoner in the group that'll get within a mile of the shore before he goes under. Someone may even make it almost to the pier, 100 feet off the pier, had it, blah, 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 you know. Now, you've all come short. No one made it. That's what God says about us. You may come closer than others, but we've all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all missed the mark. There is none righteous, no, not one. That means that we all need help. None of us can make it on our own. The mark that God has established for you is perfection. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And then the scripture says, none of you are perfect. Now, do you agree with that or not? If you don't, your wife does. All of us have sinned. All of us have missed the mark, even though we may be trying our best to hit the mark. We've come short of the glory of God. And as the result, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. The loss of fellowship with a holy God. So, and you who were dead because of your trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. The word walked here, as we've pointed out in Greek, is a word that should be translated meandered. That is, when you see a person walking, you make an assumption he's going someplace and he has a purpose in mind. When you see a person meandering, you get the impression he's not really going anywhere and he doesn't have any purpose. He's just sort of wandering, meandering. So this Greek word, meander, is the word that Paul uses here. It's translated walked. But in times past, you were just meandering through life. That is, you really didn't have any real eternal purpose. You were really not going anywhere. You were just existing. But there was no real purpose to your life. In times past, you meandered according to the course of this world. The word course has its root meaning in Greek, weather vane. That is, whatever way the wind is flowing, that's the way you turn, that's the way you go. So the flow of the world, you just flowed with it. Whatever was the current fashion, whatever was the current fad, here I am, flowing with it, you know. Everybody's doing it. Get on board. When I was a small fellow, I used to often ask my mother if I could go a certain place, do a certain thing. And if she'd say, no, son, you can't, I'd say, why, Mom? Everybody's going. Everybody's doing it. And she used to say, son, it doesn't make any difference. If everybody is doing it or not, if everybody is jumping in the fire, are you going to jump in the fire? As a Christian, you're going to have to learn to go against the current. Any dead fish can float down the stream. It takes a live fish to swim against the current. I thank God for that good, godly advice from my mother. In times past, we just flowed with the current, the weather vane, as it moved, as it meandered, following the crowd, following the course of the world, following the fads. But then Paul gives us an awesome insight, and that is that these fads and fashions of the world are really being directed by none other than Satan, according, he said, to the prince of the power of the air that even now works in the children of disobedience. Now, there may have been a time in the history of the world that a person would challenge the fact that Satan is behind the course or the flow of the world. I don't think that that would be challenged much anymore. As we look at the course of this world, as we look at the way things are going, as we look at the latest rock stars, the latest idols, they've become quite obvious of the bondage and of the chains and of the cruelty and of the evil by which they are inspired. In Copenhagen, we saw these posters all over town. In fact, I ripped one off and brought it home. Figured it was all right because there were so many around town. I didn't think anybody had missed the one. I really thought it was worthwhile having. I have asked the Lord to forgive me. But I ripped off this poster that was there because it was so intriguing. The poster has the picture of a young man, blood all around him, tied with chains. And in big letters, it said, "No escape." That's the message to the young people of Europe today. There's no escape. There's bondage. The world is going down the tube, and there's no escape. That's the world's message to the world. Paul said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Thank God there is an escape. It's been provided by Jesus Christ. The glorious salvation that he has given to us. But outside of Christ, the message is true. To those who want to reject Christ, the message is true. There is no escape. Satan is behind the world's fashions, the trends, directing, orchestrating those destructive, damning forces that we see pervading our society, the increase of immorality, the increase of pornography, the acceptance of abortion and homosexuality and these other trends that we see. Satan is behind them, orchestrating as he is leading the world to hell. And we at one time were following that course, dead in our trespasses and sins, living an aimless life without purpose as we followed the trends that were being set by Satan. What a sad and tragic picture of man apart from Jesus Christ. It is interesting to me how that so often people fear the will of God. Having walked in the will of God, I cannot understand why any man would fear it. But Satan has so lied to people about God, about the nature of God, that it has caused people to oftentimes fear submitting their lives to God. Now, when I was a child growing up in church, so many times I would hear people say, "You be careful what you say you're not going to do, because that's exactly what God's going to make you do. The boogeyman will get you, you know." And God was almost a boogeyman to us, just waiting to prove us wrong. You say you're not going to do something, you just wait, you know. And the moment you yield your life to God, that's exactly what he's going to make you do. And I was fearful of yielding my life to God. There was a lot of things I didn't want to do. And I was fearful God was going to suddenly start making me do all these distasteful things that I said I would never do. What if my son should come to me and say, "Dad, you know, I've been thinking, I've really had a good life. You always provided a roof over my head. You always provided food on the table. I always had clothes to wear. And I really appreciate all that you've given to me, Dad, and all that you've done for me. And to show my appreciation, Dad, I just thought that today I would come over and just do whatever you'd like to have me do for you. Any task that you may have around here, I just would like to spend the day with you, Dad, doing whatever you'd like for me to do." Now, as a dad, do you think that suddenly I would think, "All right, I've got this kid now where I want him, you know. Boy, I had the worst time with him trying to get him to, you know, hoe weeds in the backyard." So I'd say, "All right, start out in the backyard, that weed patch back there, you know. When you're through with that, wash out the garbage cans." And, you know, you think that I would think of every dirty, miserable task around the house and send him to do them? Well, if you think I would think that, you don't know me. I'll tell you, I'd be so shocked if I had one of my sons come and say something like that to me. But pleasantly shocked that I would want to make that one of the greatest days of his life, a day he wants to share with his dad. Well, why don't we, you know, head on down to Huntington and spend a little while surfing, you know. And then maybe we can, do a little water skiing in the afternoon. And I'd be looking for those things that we could really enjoy together. I'd be so pleased that he's wanting to do something to please me. I would want to make it a great day. And now, do you think that our Father in heaven is any different? Do you think that when you finally come and say, "Father, I do realize you've been good to me. You've done so much for me. You've blessed me so much. I just want to, you know, do whatever you'd like me to do today, Father. I'd like to just commit my life to you." And we somehow have an impression that God then is going to just get all these dirty, nasty things that we said we'd never do and say, "All right, start here, you know, there. And God is going to lay some heavy, heavy trip on us just because we've submitted ourselves to his will. Not so, you don't know the Heavenly Father. You've got a wrong and blasphemous concept of God, who just delights to spend pleasant days together with you, who is delighted when he sees you happy and joyful, who wants to see you enriched in all things in Christ." Now, on the other hand, Jesus said concerning Satan that he has come to rob and to kill and to destroy. Satan's purpose for you is your destruction. And so as he is guiding the course of the world, it is a destruction derby. It's a course that is leading to destruction. And yet people so blithely flow along with it. No worries, no concerns, no consideration. "Talk to me later, man. I'm having too great a time to worry about where the path, the flow is leading." And they seem to have no qualms yielding and flowing with the will of Satan, which will lead to their ultimate destruction. Whereas you talk about submitting your life to the Lord, "Oh, no, I need that. When I get to my deathbed, maybe, you know, I'll consider turning my life over. No, I'm too busy, you know, having fun and all. I don't want to commit my life now to God." And what a wrong concept people have of what it means to surrender your life to the will of God. For once a person does, they find, as Jesus said, "I delight to do thy will, O Lord." It becomes the pleasure, the delight, the thrill of our lives. Now, the other people looking at us can't understand that because they don't know what's going on inside. You mean you go to church on Sunday evening? And you listen to a Bible study? Man! And they don't know the joy that we have in the presence of the Lord as we worship Him and as we sing unto Him our love and our praises and our thanksgiving. And then as He begins to minister His truth to our heart and it begins to really speak to us, they don't understand that thrill of God's Word really ministering to our lives and to the things of our lives. And so looking from the outside in, they can't understand. But once we're on the inside, walking in fellowship with God, experiencing His presence and His joy, we understand what it's all about. And it's just such a joy and a pleasant delight to gather with God's people and just to experience God's love and the love within the family of God and the warmth of God's truth as it just bears witness to our spirit. But Paul said that we were all once in that boat where Satan was guiding, leading to a shipwreck, among whom also we all had our conversation. Now, the word conversation is an old English word, and we have a new in definition for that word today. Conversation, we're talking with each other. This old English word, conversation, doesn't really give you the true meaning of the Greek word, which is our manner of living. It isn't just our talking, it's our whole manner of life. Among whom we all had our manner of living, or our lifestyles in times past. What was our lifestyle, or what was the manner of life that we lived? What kind of a life were we living?
We've all heard it. Love makes the world go round. Love is the answer. All you need is love. But what is love, really? If it's so powerful, why does it so often seem so hard to find? In his inspiring and down-to-earth book, Love, the More Excellent Way, Pastor Chuck Smith takes you on a journey to discover the true meaning of love, the kind of love that flows straight from the heart of God. You'll learn what genuine love looks like, how it transforms lives, and how you can experience it for yourself. Love, the More Excellent Way is also available as an audiobook and study guide, perfect for personal devotion or group study. Don't just talk about love, live it. Order your copy of Love, the More Excellent Way today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. Love, the greatest gift from the heart of God. Now here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. May the Lord watch over you this week. May the Lord bless you. May He fill you with His love, with His Spirit, with His grace, that you might show forth that grace of God in your dealings with others, that you might manifest the Spirit, the nature of Jesus Christ in your relationship with others, that you might walk even as He walked. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ephesians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning reading Ephesians 2. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Church on the edge of town. Do, 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 do. People coming every day from miles around for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see it's not the way it used to be. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.